Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star fam? Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Starseed Energy Radio, receiving a live transmission. And that was a sample from Sound Sex, Floorgasm, the mix Floorgasm. And the DJ producer will be joining us a little bit farther into the show. That is producer DJ Sound Sex. And today is Friday, March 9th, 2012. And it has been an amazing past 2 weeks. We didn't broadcast last week because we had some issues, but we are back. We have tons of news and stuff to cover, and we also have an amazing show. Joining us first on the show is Miko Franconi, DJ Sound Sex. Also, you can check out his soundsex.net website. We're playing more of his mix throughout tonight. We also have some in-the-house guests tonight here in Studio B, live from Asheville, the City of Light, North Carolina. We have Patrick Hennessy, a.k.a. Colonel Lovejoy. He is from the Magic Love Bus Tour, spreading light and love across America. Check out magiclovebus.org. We also have some amazing new breaking news updates on the 5D galactic side of things. And we also have some updates from our one and only Ryan Dernick, the writer for GCN and owner of Bellwether Post. Check out bellwetherpost.com. Give you some 3D World News updates. We're also going to hear from special guest interview with Paul Von Ward, who's an interdisciplinary cosmologist and interdependent scholar, vonward.com. And then we're also going to be hearing from special guest interview with Jonathan Talat Phillips, author of the new book, The Electric Jesus. Check out talathealing.com and also evolver.net, who he's involved with. And again, don't forget, Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by the Domain Eco Village. The Domain is an exclusive community for people with environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. By utilizing wind and sunlight as an abundant and reliable source of renewable energy, coupled with the strongest structure ever devised, the geodesic dome. Check out the Domain ecovillage.com. Amazing stuff that they're doing. And as always, before we get started, just a shout out to all the listeners out there and support. We have over now 5,000 hits in the YouTube channel, and things have just been blowing up. We're getting over 300 hits a day on the YouTube channel. So again, thank you for everyone out there for spreading the message and for all the viewers. We're now over to 70 countries worldwide. We're up to 70 countries logging on to Starseed Energy Radio. So a shout out to all the support outside of America and the U.S. And also a shout out to the Galactic Federation of Light and all enlightened beings out there, and for all the people around the world that are doing whatever they can right now to spread truth and awareness in the shift of 2012. So shout out to everybody. All right, first we're going to get started. We're going to get on the air DJ and producer Miko Franco, a.k.a. Sound Sex. And Sound Sex, are you with us?
With you. Can you hear me?
Miko, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Excellent. There we go. Gotcha. So we're playing some of your music tonight, and just to give you a little background, you have some of the hottest tracks out there on Beatport, the world's largest electronic music download source. You're also a younger brother of the dance music legend, superstar DJ Kioki, but you have an amazing style. I've seen your work. I've seen your website, and you have amazing stuff out there, and you're also multi-talented with other things you're doing, which you can check out on your website. So jump into how you first got started and, you know, what you see in electronic music and how it's shifted, you know, since you started with the scene.
Very cool. Well, first of all, thanks so much again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I got started into electronic music because of my family. My oldest brother is, like you said, DJ Kioki. So I was kind of force-fed and spoon-fed electronic music when I was really young, before I'd even had a chance to really develop my own sense of what I liked. I was being spoon-fed techno. So I kind of just grew into it, and before I knew it, I was training to be a DJ, following my brother around, and then I became an opening act for him back in 1998. I DJed with one of my other brothers, and we were an opening act called Sibbles and Beats. and it just blossomed from there. All blessings all the way till today, I can say for sure.
Excellent. Now, you just had a new release out last week, and you also have a tour coming up. Tell us about that.
I did have a new release. I started a new project with a buddy of mine out of Denver who's originally from Florida. His name is Josh Weatherington. And him and I started up a kind of I would say it's got tech house influence, but it's got a breakbeat foundation. That's the best way for me to describe it. And we did our first release last week. It was a single, 9-track single with 2 originals and 7 remixes. And it seems to be doing really well. We've had really good reports on it. So hopefully, you know, all the stars align and it goes far. Looking forward to this one.
Excellent. And talking about the stars, just real quick, let's jump into 2012, looking at your work and the stuff you do. Obviously, you have a touch of spirituality running through you. What do you see coming up in the shift of consciousness that's going on, and how electronic music, you know, has put on more stuff with more intent, more around spirituality? And what do you think is going to be happening this upcoming year?
You know, I'm a firm believer that consciousness is something that is inevitable, that we'll all get there at when the time is right. And I believe, I mean, I'm a firm believer that 2012 is going to be the turning point for us, for society to really wake up and see it. And electronic music being, I mean, that's my heart and foundation, is a perfect way for us to express beauty and express through dance and really, really embrace the universe around us. And 2012, I mean, just the idea that so many people are thinking something big is going to happen in 2012 is just giving more of a reason for people to really live their lives to the fullest. So, I mean, in my opinion, I think it's a win-win situation.
That's it. Well said, Star Bro. It's going to be an exciting year. It already has kicked off exciting. We have amazing galactic news we're going to get into. So again, check out your website where you can find out some more of your mixes and information is soundsex.net. And any upcoming events and stuff, projects you want to throw out there that you're doing?
Yeah, well, we do Love Fest. I'm based out in Hawaii. I'm touring in April. I'll be in San Diego, Chicago, L.A., Denver, Las Vegas, Seattle, and then New York. to close my tour. So all of April, if you check out soundsex.net, I'll have all the dates posted as they are confirmed, so probably within the next couple of weeks. And we have a big 2012 party here in Honolulu. I don't know if any of your listeners are interested in making the leap across the pond and coming to check out Hawaii, but December 21st, we've got a pretty big outdoor music festival that's in the works right now, so look forward to hearing more about that.
That's what's up. That's where it's going to be, and what a great date to do it. So good luck with that, and love to have you back on the show later on and catch up on you in some more mixes. So thanks for tuning in and coming on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. It's an honor. Mahalo.
Awesome. Have a good night. And with that, we're going to jump into some real 5D galactic updates. And this is real exciting news, Star fam. So pay attention to this. Google this stuff. YouTube it. As we reported 2 weeks ago on the show, there was about 60 bankers and CFOs and CEOs and world leaders around the world that have been put in their resignation and have stepped down, and that has continued. As of today, we are up to 177 resignations from world banks, investor houses, money funds. You're talking they have sovereign wealth funds, equity funds, savings, retirement. I mean, these are all the people that have been keeping up the financial fiat currency system that is about to implode, and a new system is going to take place. Check out Nazara. If you don't know what Nazara is, check that out. Google it. These new systems are coming. They're here to help us, and this is really happening. You have 177 resignations worldwide of world leaders and world banks. This is not in the mainstream media. It's not in the news. You're not going to hear it over here. But check it out. On alternative media sources, you will find this stuff. You can check out galacticfriends.com, intelhub.com, whatreallyhappened.com, and see what's really going on out there. So this is amazing, amazing stuff. You know, this is showing that the tides are turning, StarFam. Things are happening. 177 resignations worldwide from world leaders. The Germany's president stepped down as cabinet. I mean, all over the world, Japan. So this is amazing. This is exciting. Everyone should be getting happy because big things are about to happen. We may be only weeks away from the big day, a couple big days. It's going to be quite a ride, so check that out. And with that, we're going to jump into to Ryan Dernick, writer for GCN, who's going to go into some more updates and stuff like that. And Ryan, you with us?
I am.
Awesome. Okay, great. So let's jump into some Earth changes. There was a huge solar flare that released just a couple days ago, so let's jump into to that. What can you tell us?
Yes, there was not one but two. The disturbance was intensified on March 9th with major storm conditions that were observed from SOHO. The arrival of the coronamass ejection was observed as an X-class flare on March 7th, and the initial part of the geomagnetic disturbance was much weaker than expected. And the thing that they were trying to elaborate on is that although it's unpredictable what happens when two CMEs or coronamass ejections interact, that was the reasoning for why it was not initially that disruptive, but it has been noted that cell phone services for a period of time about a day ago were disrupted globally. So some people did have problems with streaming data, and their cell phone calls would drop periodically. So that was a little sporadic hoopla for them. And then, of course, the planes, they averted the poles because of the geomagnetic storming and the anticipation that it could disrupt the GPS and so on, with the electronics and the avionics and the planes.
And also, we had some earth changes, volcanic activity, some earthquakes and stuff. Give us a rundown of what else is going on with the earth changes.
Yeah, a series of moderate to strong earthquakes rattled several parts of the globe earlier this week and recently, including Iran, China, and Philippines, and parts of the South Pacific in the past 12 to 24 hours. There have been no reports of any serious damage or fatalities from any of these earthquakes. And thus far, there have been no tsunami warnings in any were issued for any areas that could be impacted by earthquakes. A similar earthquake also occurred earlier this week. It injured 10 people in the Philippines, and that was a moderate earthquake in mid 6.0. The strongest of the recent quakes was centered near Vanuatu, which is the home of the kava, the lovely kava root drink that has a calming elixir effect. The quake was recorded as a magnitude 6.7 by the United States Geological Survey. And the recent quake came less than 2 days, as we know from the anniversary of the 9.1 magnitude earthquake that struck off the coast of Japan, which caused a massive tsunami and devastated parts of the northeast coast of Japan, crippling the Fukushima reactor power plant, which is still a dilemma in the making with high radiation levels. Even though you hear from NPR, National Public Radio, that's sponsored by Rockefellers and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, saying the opposite, saying, oh, that the people, no one's getting sick from radiation, surprisingly, listen to mainstream public radio. So if you take mainstream public radio, you also hear that it's 8.3% unemployment rate, and that stocks advanced on Friday as investors brushed off the technical default by Greece. So Wall Street's up on jobs data, brushes off Greek default. So we're in the clear because a lot of the other parts of the Eurozone are willing to take on the restructuring, if you will, the largest deal in history, and now the specter will possibly ensue of trouble, further trouble in the Eurozone countries. And according to some economists, they're surprised and a bit disturbed that the stock market is so calm to what is essentially the Greek default. So said Joe Saluzzi, co-manager of trading at Themis Trading in Chatham, New York, or New Jersey, I'm sorry.
Wow, so there's obviously a still movement with the financial system, which is on the brink of imploding, as it was set up and designed to do. And we also see an increase in volcanic activity, earthquakes, as we've been talking about. So people need to be aware of this stuff. There's swelling all over the planet. The North Pole has left the North Pole. It's on its way to Siberia. These earth changes are happening. They're happening now, and people need to be aware of it. Also, real quickly, I know you had an article talking about pasteurized milk and how bad it is. Give the listeners, give us a rundown on that.
Oh, definitely. Recently, in the last week, there was a recent study from Harvard University was pertaining to pasteurized milk. And as we know, the lactose beverage high in calcium and ensures you have strong bones shows very high levels of estrone sulfate. And estrone sulfate is actually an estrogen compound and has been connected to prostate, breast, and testicular cancer. And it's also the primary prognosis indicator for prostate cancer. And in 1993, International Journal of Cancer Report even states estrone sulfate promotes breast cancer cell replication, which means it actually promotes the growth of the cancer cells and causes them to multiply exponentially. The Harvard study was headed by Dr. Ganama Davasambu, a PhD, and a team of fellow researchers. Together, they empirically identified a definitive link between the estrone sulfate concentrations in the modern dairy farms, which practice close quarters of farming, agricultural methods, where they have almost like a concentration camp, if you will. I hate to use that because semantically it sounds a little negative word, but the Harvard University Gazette has recorded Dr. Desimbu saying that the milk we drink today is quite different, and the comparative analytical study looked at the source of the cancer from modern dairy farms where cows were milked 300 days of the year. So even when they are pregnant, they are being milked at these massive farms. That data was then compared to a raw milk farm in her native Mongolia farmlands, which sequestered milk from cows only after the first 6 months the cows gave birth. So the final results were contrary to the Centers for Disease Control, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Huffington Post, and the USA Today, and the milk lobbyists as well. So their insistence that pasteurized milk is a safe and stable construct to consume, and it's actually nutritious, much to their chagrin, pasteurized milk actually contains roughly 33% more estrone sulfate than raw milk. So companies we heard getting raided late last year and even over the summer, Ross
That's right.
Foods over in California, over the raw milk fiasco, I think we can alleviate that. So every day we got to remember, when it comes to diet, it's just like buying anything. You have to have a caveat. So caveat emptor is a good thing to follow. Let the buyer beware. Become aware of what you're eating and what the ramifications or benefits are before you ingest it. Raw grass-fed organic milk improves the health, fighting and digestion from the active cultures present in the raw milk. Raw milk has also been known to heal autoimmune disorders. Eating locally means from a farm rurally, urban community farm, or any locally produced grown organic market. So eat local and don't give your money to these extortionists like these mega places like Walmart that say they have organic food or Whole Foods when most of their food is actually deemed 25% is they say,
that's right.
Fine, that's organic.
That's right. And again, to all listeners out there, we talk about different topics on the show from time to time. We talk about the fluoride in the water killing us, linked to heart disease, number one killer on the planet, fluoride in our water, chemtrails, GMOs in our food, plastics. I mean, they are straight trying to depopulize and kill us. But the good news is they're not going to succeed. They're not going to happen because we are too powerful. We come from love, and our intent is to help the planet, help the shift, and spread awareness, and that always wins. The light always wins. There is no dark without the light. And for all the dark listeners out there that are listening, you all are just faking it, because when everyone goes back, you return to light. That's it. So, Ryan, again, thanks for coming on the show.
I'll plug my site.
Absolutely. Go ahead and give it out for all the listeners. Amazing article you put out right here for GCN.
Thank you. Bellwetherpost.com. That's BELWETHER post.com. And check it out. I have all the new alternative and cutting independent media that comes out, and it's on hot on the wire. So just check it out. It's a good read.
That's it. Excellent. Well, Ryan, again, thanks for joining us. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, listen to some more Sound Sex. And when we come back, we will be talking to the Magic Love Bus Tour. Enjoy. Welcome back, Star Fam. You're tuned and listening to Star Sea Energy Radio. And now joining us in the studio, Studio B, live from Asheville, North Carolina, is Patrick Hennessy, a.k.a. Colonel Lovejoy, and Laura Maples. And they are from the Magic Love Bus Tour, spreading light and love across America, magiclovebus.org. And guys, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. So the Magic Love Bus tour, and this basically concept goes back to the hippie era, the 60s, 70s, the Magic Love Bus. So tell the listeners who aren't educated on what the original Magic Love Bus is, what it is, and how you guys have transformed it into 2012.
Yeah, it is a bit of a flashback, I guess you could say, to the original. Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters in the 60s had a bus they called Further. And they went across country, and one of the things they did back then, unbeknownst to most people, was they did dose a lot of people with acid. So they were into getting people high.
Imagine that,
before anyone knew what it really was. And now, I think in a lot of ways, Scotty Miller, who has this bus in California and has had it out there for years, created this beautiful Magic Love Bus that's become real well known out in California. In a lot of ways, it's kind of a reincarnation of the original Further bus that the Merry Pranksters made famous in the 60s, and that was in the book Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, which is now in a swamp in Oregon, really, although they have created another bus much like it. But now what our intention is to do is kind of in a way to go beyond Further and not be involved in, say, believing that you're going to get your enlightenment through a pill or tablet of acid, but really more through love and connection with yourself and the earth and other people. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we want to do. We want to set out this spring from San Francisco with a group of what we're calling Lovelutionaries, and heading across the country and finding people to collaborate with and inviting people to come out of the city and unplug and have drum circles and dance and really make a connection on a heart-based level. Not so much exchanging ideas that we've gotten from other sources, but really coming together on a heart-based level, no matter what our politics or no matter what our creed or color.
Excellent. You talk about you're going to be feeding people organic food and doing ceremonies and just doing whatever you can to make little gatherings everywhere you go across country and spread love. And Laura, how did you get involved with the Magic Love Bus?
Actually, it was a place where Patrick and I, we'd met before. We really had one of our dates was to like actually meet on the Magic Love Bus. And he made sure that I had like mini roses at the top of it, passing it out on the during the Lovelution raid in San Francisco.
Nice.
So and there also is where I met Scotty Miller. So much of what the Lovelution was for, like just to like have an opportunity for people to get together and celebrate that living love that exists within them for whatever it is, for the wildness or for each other or for the earth or for whatever it is, or maybe it's just for that great day of a party and music and rhythm and all, but it's like to bring that together and then to like bring this across the country and also be having some music, and there's a stage there, and it's a stage for like people to have music from. We could have a drum circle up on top of the bus, even, you know, or do our yoga up there, you know, or have a platform for free speech, or you know, whatever the conscious awakening that is going on, like to see what it is, like also, you know, it's also about this discovery of as we go across the country, what is this consciousness that is awakening, you know, and it's going to be spoken from the mouths of each and every one of us. So we get to discover it as we go across.
Absolutely. And one of the greatest things is just taking the concept of awareness and taking it on the road, because right now with the economy and the way things are and how people are so down, depressed, caught in the system, you know, to see this bus, I've seen it, there's pictures of it, it's retrofitted, you got a sound system on it, it's all done up, and you'll be doing live broadcasts and stuff like that from the bus, and we'll be checking in with you also while you guys are on tour, giving us updates. What is one of the goals that you want to accomplish within those 3 months, not just spreading awareness and stuff, but taking it a step further? I know you're setting up like a social media site. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, we have another website called the Lovelution Solution. And in a lot of ways, it really grew out of me and Laura were up in New York, kind of in the early days of the Occupy movement, and saw it growing, where it went from a point where it was completely ignored in the media to there were media trucks all around the block. But the thing for me was, as much as I really love people coming together and sharing information, really kind of pulling the veil back and actually going, wow, we're not being filtered through the media. We're actually talking to each other and connecting and learning a lot, even though people were surrounded by police. The one thing I thought where the Occupy movement could go further was in not saying, you know, it's us against them and whatever X percentage is that there's the group kind of like the Frankenstein monster, the shadow, and going up the hill to burn the monster, you know. And I think, to me, the Lovelution Solution is inspired in part by the occupation, but it really wants to advocate the idea that we can all awaken. Mm-hmm. We've all had our mistakes in the past. We all have the possibility of growing in our awareness and becoming the person that we can be.
Absolutely. And just to go over again, the website and is themagiclovebus.org, and you could also track where you guys are going to be going. There's maps to see what cities you're going to be in, and anyone can be involved. So anybody out there that wants to be involved, that wants to set up a ceremony or meet with people, they could hold like 40 people on the bus, right?
Yeah, it's on the roof alone. Yeah.
That's it. So it's you know, it's a traveling Lovelution conscious awareness raising bus, and it's well needed. So check out themagiclovebus.org. And thank you both for coming, hanging out in Studio B. And we'll be checking in with you guys very soon. And with that, we're going to take a quick break of some more sound sex. And when we get back, we'll be talking to Paul Van Ward, talking about his new book, We've Never Been Alone. Welcome back to the show. You're tuned to listen to Starseed Energy Radio. And that was an awesome interview. Thank you guys for coming and hanging out in Studio B in Asheville, North Carolina. And now joining us on this show, we have none other than Paul Van Ward, a cosmologist and also an independent scholar. VanWard.com is his site. And we are talking about his new book, We've Never Been Alone, A History of Extraterrestrial Intervention. Amazing, awesome book. Check it out. Paul, thank you so much for coming on the air.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you, Jonah.
Excellent. So this new book is unbelievable, and I've read some of it and haven't finished it, but talk to the listeners about the inspiration for the book, where you first got the idea from it, how your first awakening was, and then how you transformed into writing the book.
Well, I've been interested, like a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, in the ancient astronaut theory that is the belief that human history was punctuated many times by interventions by advanced beings, ancient astronauts, ETs, angels, gods. All kinds of words are used to describe beings more advanced than humans being involved in our development, both physical development and our cultural and intellectual and psychological development. So, I've been interested in that for a long time, but I spent a lot of time in the late 80s, 1990s, and so on before I started working on this book really a decade ago. It seemed to me as I picked up different bits and pieces, you know, going to UFO sighting discussions, meeting with people who had been contacted or abducted by alleged advanced beings, and reading the work of Zachariah Sitchin and Eric von Daniken and other writers like that. It seemed to me that all of these different researchers and books were talking about different pieces of this huge puzzle. And so that led me to the idea that I should try to do a history from the beginning of the intervention in human genetic evolution right on up to the present. And so that's what's in the book. I start out with the notion that advanced beings. They're known by different names, Nephilim, Anunnaki, other words from all the different cultures around the world, but the ones that we know most commonly are from, of course, the Hebrew Bible, which came from the Sumerian text, talking about the Nephilim, the gods who came down from the skies and involved themselves in to what I call the jump from Homo erectus human type beings who were very primitive, although they had a certain level of intelligence and social skills. Obviously, we have a good bit of evidence of that. But then we had this big jump to Homo sapiens, and then that was about 250 to 300,000 years ago. And that seemed to be a genetic manipulation by advanced beings that caused our ancestors to progress in a very few thousand years at a level that was inconsistent with the hundreds of thousands of years of earlier rates of evolution. And then, you know, 100,000 years later, we see Homo sapiens sapiens jump on the scene. And that, too, was one of these interventions. In this case, I believe, when we jump from Homo sapiens to Homo sapiens sapiens, in the first case, this was gene splicing in vitro or in vivo insertions of genes to create the Homo sapiens. I think, though, by the time we got to the Homo sapiens sapiens, we had actual sexual intercourse, and we have, of course, many accounts of how this happened and hybrids came. And that was the physical side of it. And then from the last 100 to 150,000 years, we have all of the technical assistance, the giving of humans knowledge, skills, helping institutions to develop. And we have the story of Atlantis, which was about 100,000, maybe 150,000 years of history, which was destroyed all along with other groups of human activity on the planet about 12,000 years ago, when we had what the Bible calls the flood and other cultures call different things, because it was a global cataclysm that really destroyed civilizations. And we had very few survivors as humans. But the story of Noah and others from different parts of the planet tell us that these advanced beings came back down on the planet Earth and helped us get started again. And that is this modern era of the last 10,000 years of human development. So anyhow, and that's an overview.
Yeah, no, you touched on amazing stuff, all good stuff that I've been interested in as well, and probably a lot of the listeners. And, you know, the proof is everywhere. It's in UFOs and hieroglyphics in the temples and Mayan, the Dogna tribe in South Africa. They have the maps of the Orion star system in their caves, which we still can't even see some of the planets with our own telescopes. So the proof is everywhere. You know, if people still are not aware of all the signs across the board, the U.S. government last year put out a one-page press release that they did recover three bodies and a UFO craft at Roswell. It has been admitted. The head archaeologist in Cairo in Egypt last year came forward in a national press conference and said that the pyramids were not built just by humans, and under the Great Pyramid is something not of this world. So the proof is out there. It's happening, and people need to be aware of this, because our galactic family is coming back into our consciousness once again. And what do you see happening towards the end of the year of 2012?
Well, you see, I think that what we need to do is that publicly, not just these specific examples of revelations of evidence that you talked about, I think we need to have large public discussions of this whole history. And I think one of the barriers to this is that the religions that we have today, that is, the belief systems that most people in the Western world have, the idea that these tales were allegorical and that they were really trying to represent divine beings that were of some level in the universe that made them totally out of the realm of humanity and who we are as beings on this planet. The fact is that these beings that we've got in the Bible and all these other texts are beings not unlike us. You know, we are very close to them because we've been, of course, hybridized over these thousands of years. And I think we need to recognize that and understand that all of our institutions and our belief systems about how we fit into the universe have to be re-examined. And that's what I try to do in the second half of the book, is talk about that blind way of thinking and putting these bits of evidence of ABs of different kinds, both physical contacts with humans in the last 50-plus years. There are also interdimensional contacts with humans over this period of time. And we've got to start understanding that we are just a part of that larger family of what I would call humanoid type beings. We have all kinds of different features and so on, but basically the humanoid type is what we're talking about, whether it's
that's talking like your reptilian or
the reptilian. It could be
Palladians,
the Nordic
or
Pleiadian. Yes, all of those types. Now, when we talk about, you know, the Watchers and the Greys and so on, that's sort of a different kind of hybrid. These are beings that are not our equivalents, you know, in this galactic community of humanoid consciousness. I think that we've got to put this. What happens is all of us talk about bits and pieces of this story and of the current evidence and the current material even that the governments have. They don't have the whole picture. They have collected reports, you know, for decades now. I think we have several instances of specific technologies being either channeled or physically passed on to groups on this planet, and particularly our DARPA agency in Washington that has been a channel for this kind of material. But what we need to put together, and what I'm trying to do in this synthesizing approach that I use in the book, is that we have to see all of these pieces together, and when we do, we realize that we've been living a myth, a concocted story of how we got to where we are in this year of 2012. And if we don't come to grips with this and really rise up to make it a international public discussion, I don't think anything is going to happen in 2012 because we are not ready for it yet. And so what I'm trying to do, and others like yourself and so on, trying to stimulate the discussion.
That's it. And your book, again, is We've Never Been Alone, A History of Extraterrestrial Intervention. And you could also check out your website, which is vonward.com. And you also have another website that is sort of a project that you got going on. And tell the listeners the website for that.
Well, this is the www.reincarnationexperiment.org. That's reincarnation experiment as one word. This is a project that I and a number of colleagues have been working on for a few years now, trying to evaluate the scientific evidence for reincarnation and for different levels of consciousness, the interdimensional nature of consciousness. And that's part of the UFO, ET, ancient astronaut, advanced being hypothesis, because a lot of this interaction with other beings is through different channels of consciousness, through channels, through telepathy, precognition, remote viewing. These subtle senses are a part of this bigger picture. So that's why I think it's relevant to talk about this particular experiment, reincarnation experiment, because it's more than just the notion of past lives and regression sessions and so on. It's really a story of the many-faceted consciousness that we all live, whether we're incarnate or not incarnate, on this planet or on other planets.
Excellent. All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll definitely have you back on within the next year to give us an update on how the book's been doing and talk to you some more about the history of extraterrestrial intervention. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, John.
Excellent. And with that, we're going to jump to our next guest, the writer and author of The Electric Jesus. That's Jonathan Talat Phillips, and he is now joining us on the show. Talat, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Doing great. So you got your new book out, and we had spoke to you a few months back and right before it was coming out, and now it's out, and you've had an amazing response all across the board. But first, go ahead and give the listeners a rundown of the book itself and how you came about writing it.
Yeah, well, I'm getting some echo here. Are you getting that, Jonah?
I think it's cleaned up now. Station got it.
Okay, great. So, yeah, the book basically, it runs from my journey of being a defeated media activist in 2004 against George W. Bush when he took the second election. And I was just looking at the planetary situation. There are three species on average dying every hour. And I thought it was just way too much for politics alone to solve. So, you know, strangely enough, I started looking for a paradigm shift. And that Chinese curse, may you get what you wish for, happened to me. I was a cynical, rational, secular materialist. But on my 30th birthday, my girlfriend at the time, she said, you need to stop stressing about politics and take some MDMA and get your butt on the dance floor.
There you go.
Yeah. Through a series of synchronicities, I started seeing energy fields. Some people would call those auras. And I saw how we as a world are all energetically interconnected. And from that point on, you know, that seeing is believing kind of mode, I ended up going on this wild, dangerous, harrowing, amazing initiatory process through underground ayahuasca ceremonies, kundalini awakenings, out-of-body experiences, past life healings, things I never would have believed in, and including galactic contact of sorts and all sorts of, but it's very shamanic nature. It's not kind of the old abduction models and those kind of things. It's much more artistic and mystical.
Yeah, and that's what people get a lot of misconception with the spiritual community and things like that. It's you know, they get focused on the grays, and that's a lot of the fear and stuff they put out. And what you said was right on the money. Once you have that awakening, that initial experience, whether it be through ayahuasca or whatever, just meditation, you can't go back. You view things differently. And it's down the rabbit hole you go, because the knowledge and information is endless, because we are infinite beings and multidimensional, and you can go on and on. So, now that the book's out, what's the reaction that you've had? You've been all over the country, and I know you're plugged in with the Evolver.net network, which you co-founded and got started. How's the reaction been with people, just with from reading the book?
I mean, it's been ridiculous. One, I'm just every day I get emails sent from people saying, "Wow, I'm having this experiences too, and I know I'm not crazy." I just finished up a 16-stop book tour of the West Coast. You know, I'm a first-time author with an independent publisher. You're supposed to have empty rooms in that way. And we had packed houses. And, you know, in each one, I would ask this question, who here is going through some type of initiatory or healing process? And pretty much 95% of the people raised their hands. So I really feel something powerful is going on here. We are the pioneers, and it's tough work too, man. It's beautiful work, but opening our hearts, raising our vibrations, healing our family lines, pioneering entire new ways of being, redesigning our systems that are parasitical to be more like where we share, we create abundance. This is all really strong work, and we're just getting started, I feel.
Absolutely, and that's something that I've discovered myself as being fully awakened about 2 years ago, is that when you're aware of this consciousness and you have to be in control really all the time of your reality, what you think, what you project, what you say, your intentions, it all projects and creates your reality. And once you're open to that and aware of that, it makes it even crazier to deal with the way things are right now in this current system. Another reason why the shift and things are happening. And where do you see, humanity, things evolving into 2012 and beyond?
The end of my book is I hold the paradoxes of it looks like it could completely go into Mad Max wasteland to, a new paradise. What I feel like I've seen happen with a lot of people is like the demons they've been battling with for years, and I'm actually talking literally demons and entities. Like, I'm going to write, my next book is going to be a lot about energies and entities and how this is like the new science and healing modalities of the next century. Is actually just like we didn't know about germs. We're going to find out, I think, that these things are the things that cause us a lot of problems, and also when they illuminate, that process of illumination and ascension can actually become our allies. So it's almost like this alchemical piece of that thing that was torturing you then becomes your greatest strength. And this is what I'm seeing a lot of with people that are really going through the deeper initiatory process work. And this is not just Eckhart Tolle, be present. It's not, just sustainability, Whole Foods crowd. These are people doing deep, interdimensional, shamanic illumination work, powerful healing work. And finally, I feel like we're breaking through. And what I say in my book, this is a huge premise in the book, is I map out spiritual traditions across the world, not just early Christianity, but the focus is on early Christian mysticism, and show that they're all pointing the same kind of energetic roadmap for evolution and transformation. And I believe it goes into moving up the world tree of life, the human tree of life as well, into the heart-centered space of consciousness, which is a high vibrational, reality-changing karma buster. It just can illuminate even the darkest beings. And I think that's where we're moving to.
And you earlier mentioned and talked about your own interaction, personal interaction with galactic beings. Tell us an experience with that.
Well, I mean, I thought you had an interesting thing about like the grays and stuff, because I feel like people get caught in that level. And for me, it's like a conspiracy theory level, which it gets you to some level of awakening. The Gnostics actually have this line in the Gospel of Thomas, as you awaken, it's kind of like, at first you'll be marveled, and then you'll be terrified, and then you will rule over all. And so at first you wake up and you're like, oh, wow, energy exists. There's spiritual reality. And then you see all the dark shadow stuff that's there that we haven't been able to illuminate, the grays, whatever it is, ancestral demons in your family line. But if you stay in that fear factor, you're going to miss the really great stuff, which is when we raise above that into healing and unity and universal consciousness, it gets really fun and weird and artistic and mystical and beautiful. And I think this is what I see happening, and I talk about a lot in my book, is we have an old 1950s tinfoil spacesuit idea of what extraterrestrial phenomena is. And there's all these great scenes. I actually see people shape-shift at Burning Man. My guides tend to be galactic. And it's much more prankster and fun. Alchemical, artistic, mathematical. These are people that have integrated art and science and spirituality and a really good sense of humor. So I think it's a little bit like David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust kind of stuff. It's pretty wild and out there. And a lot of them have really cool tattoos.
There you go. That's what's up. And it is a wild ride, and you have to be open and open-minded, because just for myself, this last year I've had crazy experiences doing ceremonies with Poncho the Crystal Skull and going into portals and all this stuff. And as much as crazy as it all sounds of what we're talking about, no one can tell me different, because it's my truth, because I've experienced it. And I don't care what anyone says. I've experienced and seen some wild stuff, and it gets even more you know, in depth and more multidimensional and more awakening every experience that we have. And taking the movement of experience and intention comes the Evolver Network. Give us a rundown of what Evolver is doing these days and how you first, you know, morphed into creating the Evolver movement.
Sure. I mean, I do want to say one thing about the aliens too, is I didn't even put it in my book until the last edit when Daniel Pinchbeck, author of 2012, and my editor said, "You're not being honest. You've got to put everything in, all the shadow stuff, all your relationship stuff, all the messy stuff, and the weird stuff." And I had hesitated on this, you know, because you can mention spirituality, you can mention consciousness, but when you drop the A-bomb, that's when you can lose people. And the book is just so much richer, and people are so much more turned on to this material, because you know what? They are also having experiences. So many people are coming to me with these awakening stories to a galactic consciousness and, like, waking up to the brothers and sisters out there. As far as the Evolver movement, yeah, we are trying to, and we are, spreading consciousness far and wide. When I had gone through this whole mystical journey, I wanted to get back into activism, but a different type. Instead of protesting against things, I wanted to just start building new things and building new memes. I was a media activist. And back in those days, you had to go through the mainstream media. We would do spectacles and media stunts, and they would just crush all the goodness out of it and be really cynical. But now, with open source technologies and the internet and everything else, it's just great. We started Reality Sandwich, a few friends of mine, including Daniel Pinchbeck. And the idea is, like, we no longer had to go through these guys. We could do it ourselves and let our own stories shine and let this community of transformation really thrive. And since we started Reality Sandwich, we've had 600 members. We have over 150,000 people visit the site every month. We have over 600 contributors, and it just keeps growing.
Wow.
And what we noticed is our community wanted to meet in physical space and transform where they live, to create that new earth there in Boise and Baltimore and D.C. and L.A., wherever it was. And I think it's been 2.5 years now. I specifically coordinate this organizers program, which, Jonah, you're a part of with Evolver Asheville. And I've seen it flourish from being one regional group in Atlanta hosting a monthly salons to 40-plus groups in the U.S. and abroad and Canada that host film screenings and consciousness parties, eco festivals. Heck, even Baltimore even shepherded in a new local currency, the B-note, that's accepted in, I think it's 150 cities now. Yeah.
Wow. And that's an amazing movement, and like I said, I've been involved with Evolver for about almost a year now, and it's amazing stuff, so definitely check out Evolver.net and RealitySandwich.com. And Jonathan, give out your information as well to all the listeners where they could find out more about your healing, the book, and where they could find out some more information about the work that you do.
Oh, sure, yeah. If you go to Talat Healing, T-A-L-A-T, healing.com, you can set up. I'm a bioenergetic healer and Reiki master, and I do Skype sessions, which I think is a really unique way of approaching this. And also, I mean, my love right now, my passion is the book, The Electric Jesus, The Healing Journey of a Contemporary Gnostic. What you've gotten on this call is like a little tip of the iceberg of this beautiful, I feel, interdimensional transmission of this material. Just a little gift for your listeners, if they pick up the book and send me a note about it, just saying that they picked the book up with a little receipt, I will send them a chakra activation MP3 that's about 30 minutes long. It should get
nice.
Your energy flowing pretty well. And you can do that too at Talat, T-A-L-A-T, at Evolver.net. And you can always find me on Evolver, so it's easy to do.
That's what's up. Awesome. Great. Tala, thank you for coming on the show and spreading awareness, light, and love as you have been doing and touching so many lives. It's amazing work you're doing, and I thank you for that. So we hope to have you back on the show in the upcoming year. And light and love to you, Star Bro. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother. And I got to get down to Asheville sometime, too.
Yes. Please come down and visit us. We have an amazing time with lightworkers out here. Definitely need to come check us out.
All right. Let's make it happen.
Excellent. And
thanks,
with that,
thanks for all the work you do.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan, and glad to be a part of the Evolver movement, because it is an amazing movement. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and listen to a little more of Sound Sex, and we'll do a quick wrap-up when we get back. Enjoy. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Star Synergy Radio. And those are some amazing interviews with everybody. Thank you all five of you for coming on the show, and wish we had more time with everybody, but we only have 55 minutes here. So with that, real quickly, just a rundown of who's coming on next week. We have Steve Bassett coming on, exopolitical activist and executive director of the Paradigm Research Group, leading the Disclosure Project, petition number 2, the Rockefeller Initiative. Awesome to have Steve on the show. We're also going to be joined with Reverend Dr. Todd Michael, board-certified physician, metaphysician, psychologist, and experienced minister. March 23rd, we have Kent Mesplay, presidential candidate for the Green Party in 2012. Dr. Kent Mesplay will be joining us. That's going to be an amazing show. And then April 6th, we have Nick Begich coming on from EarthPulse.com. Amazing shows. Again, check out my Twitter feed during the week, YouTube channel. You can check out StarSandRadio.com for the latest news and updates. And, of course, thank you again for all the listeners out there. We're reaching over 70 countries now that are logging on. We just got Tel Aviv this week, Israel, Japan, North Korea, the Philippines. Things have been going crazy. So shout out to all the enlightened beings out there. Again, Star Fam, the time is now. One by one is how we awaken. Call your family. Call your friends. Tell them the good news. We're multidimensional galactic beings of light and love. That's what's up. And with that, again, Starfam, thanks for tuning in. We're going to enjoy some more of the mix we've been playing all night from our DJ Sound Sex. I will see you all, be with you all next week. Enjoy.